Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we'll tell you the new way to get an upgrade on a ship or a plane, and the list of Las Vegas resort fees for 2017 is in, and I'm afraid it's not pretty.
Mark is on the road reporting from the New York Times Travel Show at Javits Center in New York. And starting at 3:20, he brings us interviews from all over the world.
We'll take you to Canada by rail. We'll tell you the importance of registering in the Smarter Traveler program before you go overseas. Plus, we'll tell you about adventure tours in Iceland and Africa.
Then at 3:45, Mark will have Steve Perillo, the CEO of Perillo Tours, from New York.
From New York City and Sacramento, we have a terrific show for you today. Thanks for tuning in to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And last weekend, Mark was in Maui. Tom was in studio. Today, I'm still stuck in the studio. And we've sent Mark all the way across the country to the New York Times Travel Show. And you can hear by the sound of the crowd in the background, you must be on the floor of the event itself. Mark, welcome.
That's it. They are just about to have the ribbon cutting ceremony here in just a few minutes, Tom, at the New York Times Travel Show. And as soon as they do that, I will be loose on the floor to get us some interviews. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after we get done with the news.
Outstanding. Well, without any further ado, as we always do, right here at the top of the Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what the world's been going on in the travel news. And our travel news music is, of course, the news. Huey in the news. August 11th at Thunder Valley. I had to get a plug in for it. Mark, what do you got for us?
No problem. All right, Thomas, some folks who will travel maybe have already seen some of this. Many airlines now are starting to take bids to try to snare some of those seats in first class. Hawaiian Airlines has been doing it for a while. Alaskan and American apparently are on the verge of it. And some cruise lines are also accepting bids for upgraded cabins. Norwegian Cruise Lines is one of them. Is that not wild or what? What would you pay for a first class seat to Hawaii, Tom?
Well, gosh, you know, as little as I can, and being in a bidding situation, I can always hope that perhaps, I can outbid someone. People love to bid on things, and this should be pretty exciting. Now, Mark, do you think that this is going to mean a lower first class, or perhaps it's going to drive it up even higher?
I think it'll be very interesting. I suspect in the beginning that enthusiasm might make the prices a little higher. You know, Alaska Airlines for many years has had a policy of selling leftover first class upgrades at the counter on the day of travel. So the Hawaii ones were usually sold for about $300, and Seattle ones are usually sold for $50 or $75. And so if you knew about that, you could always ask. And you know, $300 to get a first class seat to Hawaii for some people would seem like a good deal, particularly if you already knew that you were seated in the airplane in economy, not in a row with extra legroom, and you were in a middle seat. You might think, well, it's going to spend $3,000 or $4,000 in Hawaii, 10% more to be comfortable is a good idea. The cabin thing is kind of interesting because airline seats are kind of standard, but cabins on cruise ships, especially if you haven't been on the ship, you start bidding for an upgrade, you might get there and be disappointed. So I'm a little cautious about the ship side. The airline side is kind of interesting. We'll see if we can follow this online and get an update. Bad smog in London this week has caused flight cancellations, believe it or not. Heathrow Airport, the visibility was so poor on Friday that they canceled almost 100 flights, 290 flights delayed, and London City Airport canceled another 50 flights. Smog canceling airplanes because the visibility was so tour.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What is that? Wonder what that tastes like.
The world we live in, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's just kind of scary that you have to check the smog report in addition to the weather report. Okay, something that you might want to try on your next trip is car sharing. There are a couple of different companies that have popped up with car sharing. We put a link to one on our Travel Guys Radio website, but car sharing is the newest thing. You know, you're not driving your car around. Here's one gentleman says it's, here's an example of some of his recent rentals. He got a Jaguar for $135 a day, a Tesla for $225 a day, and he's not making this up, a Maserati for $135. The theory is, of course, the same as it is with your house or anything else that we are sharing in this sharing economy of ours, is that your car is sitting around a lot and maybe you can get some money out of it. I don't know. I feel kind of, I don't know if I'd be okay with someone else driving my car, though.
Well, you know, it's, here again, I think the thing that's going to pop into most people's minds is the liability and making sure that your insurance company is going to cover this random driver and then being able to fix the car if something bad happens. I imagine that whoever is renting your car is going to have to sign a kind of a hefty waiver before they drive off with it. You know, automobiles are somewhat personal items, and it's a little, it'd be curious to talk to somebody who would be willing to give up their car for a few bucks.
Yeah, Turo, T-U-R-O.com. I said we'll have a link on our Travel Guys radio site. And GetAround.com are two examples. And, of course, we've had things like Zipcar for a long time where you could rent cars by the hour, particularly in major cities. Christopher Elliott was reporting on this, and someone wrote into his website and said, well, gee, what happens if somebody promises you their car, and then a few days before you're supposed to pick it up, they say, well, gee, you know, my car's not going to be available, and it's a special event in the city or something like that, and suddenly no cars are available. So I thought that was kind of an interesting downside to maybe a car sharing. Here is an interesting letter, speaking of Chris Elliott's website, Elliott.org. This is an interesting letter to the editor from someone who just came back from traveling on a two-week trip to Cuba, saying, here are some reality checks for those who think Cuba is a bucket list hotspot. Havana has a haze of pollution from all the antique cars and has insufficient infrastructure to support large-scale tourism. Most bathrooms lack toilet seats, toilet paper, soap, or paper towels, and have non-working decades-old hand dryers. Now, you can carry your own toilet paper and your own hand sanitizer, but when in a restaurant, if the bathroom lacks the basic necessities for personal hygiene, what does that tell you about the food servers or cooks who handle your food? There are no grocery stores, no drug stores. There are places called pharmacies which haven't seen aspirin or anything like it in decades. They have empty shelves. Occasionally, you will see Cubans lined up, and that means someone heard the food rations have arrived. Entire towns look as though they have been bombed. Entire neighborhoods in Havana look like they've been bombed. Let's see. Grand old houses in the Vedado neighborhood have a post-apocalyptic crumbling look that belies the fact that there are actually people living in them, seemingly without electricity or running water. Many sinks don't have running water, and toilets may or may not flush. So anyway, this is one observation. The lady says on her JetBlue flight back, her and her husband overheard a lot of young tourists talking. Many of them had a stunned quality to their conversations. And so she just says, so I say to those who want to go before Cuba changes, why?
Really?
She says people are afraid that capitalism will ruin Cuba, and this traveler's observation is capitalism couldn't come to Cuba soon enough.
Boy, ain't that the truth?
So, yeah, kind of just one, you know, just kind of a one person's opinion there. The show, the Broadway show Hamilton, has been sued over a lack of services for blind patrons. A 50-year-old Denver theater patron has sued the producers of Hamilton, saying that they're not offering any services for blind patrons to enhance their understanding of the show. And gosh, they've done things to help hearing impaired people to enjoy theater more, but I hadn't really thought about this. He's looking for some narration between musical numbers and things of that sort. Apparently, some Broadway shows do provide that. So kind of an interesting development there on the show Hamilton. Las Vegas resort fees for 2017 are out. I have a list of them here. It is not pretty. Many of them are in the $30 range now, or are over $30. Circus is at $21, seems to be one of the lowest. But even places like the Best Western, here's Bellagio, $32. The Best Western has a $5 resort fee. It's unbelievable, Tom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 14 pages of resort fee facts from Las Vegas. So all I have to say is, if you thought that the machines and the tables were going to take your money in Las Vegas, there's a new game in town.
Yeah.
And they're getting your money in an entirely different way. That is your travel news for today.
There you go. And you know, be advised, just because it's called a resort fee doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be a resort for you to get feed.
Oh, absolutely. And in many cases, the interesting thing is here, some of these resort fees include internet. A couple of them include parking. These were places that weren't charging for parking before. But many of them do not. Here's, many of them are charging you $25 or $30. Here's Harris, includes internet for one device. So it's just bizarre. I mean, you know, it would be one thing if the fees included something where people could actually find some value in them. But $30 at Treasure Island, in-room internet access is included. Access to the fitness center. I always thought that when you checked into a hotel that the fitness center was part of the deal.
It used to be.
2-for-1 cocktails. Of course, you're in a casino. 2-for-1 lunch or dinner buffet, one per stay. Now, remember, you get charged the resort fee every day. But many of these coupons and special offers are only good on a one-time basis. So it's really highway robbery. Let's hope the FTC does something about it in this new year.
Okay, we are in the studio. Tom Romano here. Mark Hoffman, we are the Travel Guys, and he is at the New York Times Travel Show. Mark, this is you've been there a few times. How's this one shaping up?
Well, Tom, there are over 500 exhibitors here. They have a wellness pavilion. They have a family travel pavilion. Folks from all over the world, Europe, Asia, Australia, Canada, all over the United States. So in just about 2 minutes here, they are going to open the doors. And so you're going to go to break, and I'm going to get inside, and then we're going to treat our folks to a variety of different interviews. I've got a hit list here, so we'll go inside and see who we can snare for the Travel Guys here. And by the way, just a reminder, a link to all the folks that we talk to will be able to be found at travelguysradio.com. So if you hear anything that you're interested in, you can track it down there. And if you're ever on the East Coast in January or February, check it out. The New York Times Travel Show is one of the biggest in the country and here at the Javits Center. So, Tom, I'm off inside, and I'll talk to you in just a few minutes.
All right. More from the New York Times Travel Show here on the Travel Guys in Entertainment Radio Program. Be back in about 3.5 minutes.
You can travel by road. Well,
all right, here we go. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember, everything we talk about on the program today, you can follow along at travelguysradio.com. Let's catch up with Mark.
Tom, back on the floor at the New York Times Travel Show, and our first guest today is Virginia Elliott. Virginia is the spokesperson for the Bureau of Consular Affairs for the U.S. Department of State, and I wanted to talk to her a little bit about the STEP program, STEP, which we've talked to our listeners about in the past, but it's a really important part of international travel. Virginia?
Good afternoon, and thank you. I just want to introduce the Bureau of Consular Affairs, which protects U.S. citizens and their interests abroad, supports U.S. border security at home, and facilitates the entry of international visitors without compromising security. To the first point, protecting U.S. citizens, we encourage enrollment in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, or STEP, as you so rightfully said. Enrolling in STEP allows the department to notify you of safety and security concerns while you travel and can help your friends and family get in touch with you in an emergency. We keep your information private.
So if, let's say, for example, you had been in Japan a few years ago and there was an earthquake and all of the communications were knocked out, then, and your friends and family couldn't get a hold of you, but your government would at least know where you were. Is that kind of the point here?
That is the idea. The idea is that in the case of emergency, we have your contact information and we're able to get in touch and then, in so doing, facilitate communication back to your family. But we encourage all travelers, before they travel, besides enrolling in STEP, to make a communications plan plan with your friends and your loved ones. Let them know when you're going to check in. Let them know how they can reach you. So you do all of these things so that if one fails, someone can reach you in one way or another.
Excellent, excellent thought. Tell our listeners, how do they get enrolled in it?
Go to step.state.gov. You can find this information also on the travel.state.gov website. But if you enroll at step.state.gov, you put in your contact information, you can put in your destination and the duration of your travel. I would also encourage people while they're on travel.state.gov to visit our country specific information pages where they can learn more about their destination.
Wow, that's a lot of good information there. And then you're with the Bureau of Consular Affairs, so that involves more of the consulates, right, in foreign countries. Is there anything quickly that we should share with our listeners in terms of general information about consulates?
Sure. So U.S. embassies and consulates overseas are available to assist U.S. citizens in the event of an emergency, and we encourage you to look for usembassy.gov to locate your nearest consulate or embassy overseas, and they can assist if you lose your passport or if it's stolen. They can replace it with an emergency passport. They can assist you to contact loved ones in the case of an emergency and other services.
And just to make sure that we emphasize this point, the information that folks share with you goes nowhere else other than just that site, right?
That's correct. It will not be shared without your permission.
Excellent. Virginia, thank you so much. The STEP program is an excellent way for international travelers to make certain that it's your lifeline. It's your last attempt to be able to, if there's an emergency, there are no ways to communicate with you. It's an emergency plan B, if you would.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for supporting our message.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And right now, with international travel, heck, we may have a wall on one border before too long. So it's international travel is very much in the news, and I think it's very much in the top of everyone's mind right now. Thank you, Virginia.
Thank you.
You're tuned to the Travel Guys here on KFVK. Again, follow along with the program at travelguysradio.com. Let's see where Mark is now.
Tom, across the aisle at the New York Times Travel Show, I have Ryan Robutka. Ryan is the Senior Manager for Sales and Marketing for Via Rail Canada. And on the Travel Guys, we talk a lot about train trips. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about train trips in the British Isles, about great ways to get around Europe. Via Rail is a great way to get around Canada. And right now, Canada is on sale if you live in the United States. If you haven't heard, the exchange rate allows you about a 30% discount to travel in Canada. Ryan, tell us a little bit about the rail services that folks from the U.S. can expect in Canada.
Definitely. So for those that aren't familiar with Via Rail, we're basically what Amtrak is to the United States, Via Rail is to Canada. And we have trains that operate from coast to coast, from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and even north up to Hudson's Bay and Churchill, where the polar bears live. A lot of people looking at Canada this year might be considering visiting Canada because it's our 150th anniversary. And as a result, doing a coast-to-coast trip, experiencing Atlantic Canada, working through the heartland of Montreal and Toronto, and then continuing on to Vancouver, kind of relives the historic footprint that the passenger railway system has in Canada, and really was the reason Canada became the country it is today. So if you wanted to do that coast-to-coast rail experience, you would actually use three of our trains. The first train is an overnight train starting in Halifax called the Ocean. And this is a 24-hour trip connecting Halifax and Atlantic Canada to Montreal. This is equipment that was actually brought over from Europe, so it has a bit of a European feel to it, a little more modern than the train that travels between Toronto and Vancouver. But anywhere that you're traveling on the train in Canada, when you have a bed on the train, we have something called Sleeper Plus Class. And that means that our passengers will have access to dome cars on board the train, meals prepared in our dining cars, and comfortable accommodations to enjoy the trip. So what this really does, it starts off on the Atlantic coast, travels through Nova Scotia and New Brunswick along the St. Lawrence Seaway, ending in Montreal the next morning. So it really becomes kind of a moving hotel. For passengers that get off in Montreal, definitely you want to spend a couple of nights in Montreal before heading to Toronto to get on the Canadian. But from Montreal, you can take a quick 4.5-hour trip to Toronto and then board what really is our flagship train, the Canadian.
And also, and do we still have trains down to Niagara Falls?
There is a train that runs from Toronto down to Niagara Falls. That's actually a train operated by Via Rail, but it's Amtrak equipment, which continues on its way to New York. But we do have daily service with our partner Amtrak between Toronto and Niagara Falls in both directions.
So another option when you got to Toronto would be perhaps taking a little detour down to Niagara Falls for a night or two, if you wish. And then in Toronto, you've got the Canadian, which really is the gem of all of Via Rail service.
Yeah, the silver lady of our fleet with the stainless steel cars. I'd be remiss not to mention Ottawa, especially this year with Canada having its 150th anniversary. It really will be party central this summer with so much happening in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. So from Montreal to Ottawa, it's about an hour and a half on the train. From Ottawa to Toronto, it's 4 hours. So it's really easy to get around between Quebec City, Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa by train and Niagara Falls before continuing on to Western Canada on the Canadian. So the Canadian is a four-night and a three-day journey connecting five different provinces, Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia. And every day that you're on the train, you get to see a different part of Canada. So we leave Toronto at 10 p.m., so that's the first night right off the bat. That next day, we're going through Northern Ontario and traveling through the Canadian Shield. And there's thousands of lakes and millions upon millions of trees that you'll see that day. But it's not just about what you see out the window. We've got wine and beer tastings on board in the train. You'll find that there's games available to be played. We have historic and educational discussions about the provinces we're traveling through, the railway, how to read railway signals, things like that.
So it's not just riding the train all day, as folks might envision. There actually are things. You've got a kind of a planned program.
That's it. You know, and I think a lot of people picture the train experience being a passive one, where you're sitting and staring out at this endless beauty. But there is so much going on inside the train. I think that's really what people take away from the experience and what really surprises them. Not only is there a lot going on inside the train, but it's a very social experience. So you kind of get caught up in this moving community in a way. And for some people that get on the train two nights into the four-night journey, I think they kind of feel like outsiders because everybody else on the train is getting to know each other. And people wonder who these people are getting on, maybe in Winnipeg or elsewhere.
Kind of a little bit of a sense of community. Tell us a little bit about overnight accommodations, particularly on board the Canadian and some of the Eastern trains. I know there are a couple of different types of overnight accommodations and a couple of different price points.
Yeah, especially on the Canadian. So on the Canadian, we have a Sleeper Plus class, which I mentioned earlier. So if you have a bed on the train, your meals are included, access to dome cars, all of the activities. Last summer, we introduced a new class of service called Prestige Class. This is very limited in terms of the number of bedrooms that we have on the train, 13 bedrooms only traveling between Toronto and Vancouver. But it caters to maybe a different type of a clientele that we weren't able to speak to in the past. So in Prestige Class, you have a larger room, you have a private shower in your room, heated floors, heated walls, a concierge or butler attendant. Extra food and beverage included, so it's an all-inclusive experience. Alcohol anywhere on board the train. We'll deliver charcuterie and hors d'oeuvres and different kinds of small canapes to a room during the afternoon, just before dinner. Our rear dome car, which is known as the park car, one of the most famous cars we have on the Canadian, so it's a wraparound lounge at the back, kind of, I guess, the Canadian caboose, if you will.
And so if you wanted to go with a more economical, I've just got a short time here, a little more economical accommodation, what would that be?
Yeah, so we do have upper and lower semi-private rooms. So these are rooms still in Sleeper Plus class, but during the night you've got complete privacy with curtains that pull over the area, but during the day it's an open seating area with two couches facing each other. But these rooms still offer great value because just like our other passengers, the meals are included, the dome cars are included, the activities are included. So the great thing about the Canadian, we feature a lot of different types of accommodation that allows us to speak to any kind of budget and any kind of travel value proposition.
Ryan, thank you so much. Sports Leisure Vacations has a group going all the way across the country in September. So there's a link to that on our Travel Guys Radio site and also a link to Via Rail, so that if you have any interest in any Canadian rail vacations, why, you can start exploring with us today. Ryan, thank you for your time.
Thank you. All aboard.
Wow, what a trip that must be. Tom and Mark here, we're the Travel Guys. Again, follow along with us on travelguysradio.com. A link to all that we talk about on the show today can be found there. Short time out for the KFBK News. When we return, local guides for individual travels, an adventure to Iceland, Greenland, Norway, and more coming up on the Travel Guys. Hi there, thanks for joining us. You're in touch with the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman, it's a special edition brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm in studio and Mark is at the New York Times Travel Show. By the way, everything we talk about on the program today, you can follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Okay, let's hook up with Mark now and find out what special guest he has lined up for us.
Tom, back on the floor at the New York Times Travel Show with the Travel Guys, and I am here with Sarah Cook. Sarah is with Tours by Locals, and I walked by. It says connecting travelers with local guides worldwide, and immediately as a tour operator who's always trying to provide people with the best experience, and I'm thinking, here is the way to get the best experience, connecting yourself with a local guide. Sarah, tell us about Tours by Locals.
Sure. Well, we're a Vancouver-based company. We're from Canada. We've been around since late 2008. And like you say, we connect travelers with local guides. We make it easy for people to find a local guide for a private insider tour, basically anywhere in the world that they're traveling.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, is this done before you leave? Is it done after you get there? How does it work?
Generally, people will come onto the website. Once they've booked their flight, they've booked their accommodation, they're ready to think about activities, they can search by destination. Let's say they're going to Paris. Type in Paris, they'll see all the guides that we work with there, and they can make their choice of who they want to spend their day with. They can choose, and they just contact the guide directly through the site, book the tour in advance, and then the guide will meet them once they're at their destination.
So do they choose by activity? Are there different guides have different resumes, so to speak?
Yeah, well, some people prefer to pick a tour that they see, and they love the look of it. They'll book that tour. Other people like to search through our guides' profiles, read about who that person is. They like to choose the person they're going to spend time with. That's more important to them, perhaps, than the exact activity that they're going to be doing. So they have the option. They can search by guide or search by activity.
Is this expensive?
Depends where you're traveling. Obviously, hiring a guide in a place like, say, Bali or Bangkok is going to be cheaper than St. Petersburg or Rome. The guides all set their own prices. They're all independent contractors. And, yeah, it's generally very good value if you're traveling in a small group of, say, three or four people.
Well, and obviously, as a tour operator, I know that hiring a guide for 20 people is going to be less expensive than hiring a guide for two people. But a guide for 20 people has to share information with a mass, whereas a guide for only a couple people or a small group could certainly customize a tour or an adventure or an experience on a much higher basis. Can you give me an example of one or two of the Tours by Locals?
Oh, sure. Well, so at the show today, we have a guide from Iceland right beside me, also a guide from New York City. So as you mentioned, if you hire a private guide, you can customize the day for you. You can do whatever it is that you're hoping to do. Some of our more popular tours involve a little bit of a more local look at the place that you're visiting. So for instance, in Kyoto, Japan, we have a guide who will take you to the fish market, buy your fresh fish, she'll take you to her house, have a sushi making lesson, you enjoy a meal together.
Oh, how awesome is
that?
Yeah,
right? That's the kind of thing you're not going to do on a big bus tour.
Right. So it gives you the opportunity to really kind of personalize your tour with by picking a guide who might have the same interests as you have or might have the knowledge that you're looking for when you get to your destination.
Precisely. So if you're an art lover, we have art historians. If you're a history buff, we have those. If you're into photography, we have guides who focus on that. So whatever your interest is, chances are you can find a guide whose interest mirrors yours.
Sarah Cook, the company is Tours by Locals, toursbylocals.com, and we will have a link on Travel Guys Radio if you are interested, if you are going anywhere on the planet. How many different countries?
157 countries.
If you're going anywhere on the planet, Sarah has you covered at Tours by Locals. Tom, I'm headed across the aisle, and I'll talk to you in just a moment.
Okay, let's give Mark a little time to make his way across the floor. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. If you have an eye on Africa, or perhaps you're interested in Italy, keep it here on the Travel Guys. All right, back to you, Mark.
Tom, let's do something a little bit adventurous here, and let's go to some countries that most people haven't been to before, Iceland and Greenland. Talking with Baker Neal. Baker is with Iceland Greenland Travel. You told me before we started that your tours are for folks who are looking for a little bit more than just seeing the cities.
Certainly. We call them adventure travel trips. So it's a hybrid trip, a few days in Reykjavik and also in Sisimiut in Greenland, and then a four-day back backpacking trip. So you get to see some of the culture and the cities and the food that are in these major cities, but you also get out and then you get to see some of the natural landmarks in these countries. For Iceland, we do the Laugavegur Trek, which is one of the Nat Geo top 20 trips. And we stay in geothermally heated huts, which are fantastic. They're not quite like your apartment at home, but they are, they're pretty nice for what they are. You see different things every day on the trip. So at one point you are kind of in an alpine style environment, and then the next day you are traversing a black sand desert, and then the day after that you get to see one of the largest canyons in Iceland.
Now, are most of your tours kind of hub and spokeish, or do you travel between destinations and then do hikes? I mean, give me an idea of what the pace of the trip is.
Sure. So for Iceland in particular, we spend 3 days in Reykjavik for everyone to kind of get their bearings, and then we take a bus, like a four-wheel drive, gigantic off-road bus to the highlands of Iceland, where we get dropped off, and then we hike for 4 days, take another bus back to Reykjavik, where we have about a day and a half for people to kind of unwind and relax before heading back to New York.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. Now, do you just have one program, or are there different programs?
Every summer we do a trip to Iceland, which is then followed by a trip to Greenland, and then at last Norway. They're similar in terms of structure and style. The Greenland trip, you are above the Arctic Circle, so it's definitely the most rugged and the most adventurous, kind of the most Spartan of the three. And then the Norway trip is on the other end of the spectrum, which is going to be, you're pretty lavish. You're staying in huts, but they're more like hotel-style huts. So two of the huts have a full bar and restaurant, which you won't find on the Iceland or Greenland trip. So depending on you know, the type of customer, we've got Iceland right in the middle, Greenland for your true adventure, you know, hardcore backpacker, and then Norway, it's going to be the lightest pack with the shortest days, but you get to see some beautiful fjords and mountains in Norway.
I'm guessing summertime trips?
Correct, yeah, so July and August for all three.
And would you suggest for someone who is looking for this kind of adventure, how would you kind of rank this on a scale maybe of 1 to 10?
It depends on what kind of ranking system you want to go by. I would say Iceland's going to be about a 7 in terms of adventure. Greenland's probably about an 8.5. Norway's probably about a 6.5.
Okay. So, good physical condition.
Yeah.
And about how far are you hiking?
Between 8 to 10 miles most days. So they're not super super long days, but you're spending most of the day hiking.
Baker, probably not for everyone, but it sounds like that, and this is something that you've done before.
Correct. Yeah.
And so this is something for really somebody who is looking for a really special adventure travel experience in Iceland or Greenland or maybe even Norway. Go to travelguysradio.com and we will have a link to it. Thank you, Baker, for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
All righty, you're listening to the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK. In about 3 minutes, it's individual and group travel to Italy. How about an eye on Africa and South America? That's all next here on the Travel Guys. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And every year, we send Mark to New York City to the New York Times Travel Show, where we find out about the latest and greatest in travel all over the world. Now, a reminder, you can find links to everybody we've talked with today on the program at travelguysradio.com. So check it out. Also, the podcast if you want to go back and revisit some of these interviews. Now, back out onto the floor of the New York Times Travel Show, and let's see who Mark has with us now.
Tom, I'm here with Steve Perillo of Perillo Tours, and anybody who has a television set has probably seen 1 or 2 or 7 of their ads, I would hope, in recent times. They are the folks who can take you to Italy. Steve, tell us about what you've got that's new, exciting, and wonderful.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for stopping by our booth in New York. We've been selling Italy for our 72nd year.
Wow.
And we've moved on from escorted group tours, which we still do quite a bit of, to customized trips for individuals and groups. And we have this cool website, italyvacations.com, where you can book your own trip on our new software. We call it the Travel Genie. It's the coolest way to book a trip. It's just, you have to see see it. You see it on the map, you see it in a calendar, and you see it in list form, your trip that you put together. And we suggest professional itineraries that you can tweak. So we're getting more into technology and new ways to book your trip. But Italy is still 80% of our business.
So folks can go on an FIT basis with you now on a customized vacation, or they can still join a group for a scheduled itinerary.
Yeah, the group tours are still a great way to go. People love it. It's so easy. The group sizes come down to about 35, 40. The food has gotten much better over the years. The hotel's better. The public demands a better quality as each generation comes and goes. So they're high-end, and probably $10,000 for a couple for a two-week trip. But that's what you'd spend. You'd probably spend more than that. And it's so stress-free because we take care of everything, but there's plenty of free time for you to get into trouble on your own.
Hottest destinations in Italy right now?
The hottest destination, it's still Rome, Florence, and Venice, but Cinque Terre in the north, Amalfi's still big. Oh, Puglia, everyone says Puglia, and I agree. That's the heel of the boot, the spike, and the food is unbelievable, and the countryside is gorgeous. But hot is, how many times are you going to go to Italy? You have to go to Rome, Florence, and Venice, and Sorrento. You really do.
And we have more than one booth here today that is specifically about food in Italy. And you mentioned food, and that's culinary has become such a big part of travel. I suspect it always was, but it's a lot more visible now. And Italy is known as one of the world's great culinary destinations.
Especially, we are deep into it. We offer cooking classes. We offer an entire cooking trip where you actually almost get a degree. You're working every day in the kitchen. Otherwise, our regular tours, we have a cooking class on all of them. So you get to, you know what pasta is, just flour and water. That's basically it. But you learn how to fashion it into unbelievable creations. Pasta and water, that's it. That's pasta. I mean, that's flour and water.
Perillo Tours, and they have been doing Italy vacations forever. ItalyVacations.com is where you can find them. We will put a link to your website on TravelGuysRadio.com in case you're driving around. Steve, thanks for a few minutes of your time. If you could only go and do one thing in Italy, what would you do?
I would spend a week in Positano, south of Naples, and just eat pasta, seafood, and lay around on a boat.
Sounds like it.
I think I'll do it.
It sounds like a great idea. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, okay, I hope you're taking notes here listening to the Travel Guys, but if you're not, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can get links to all of our special guests here on the Travel Guys. All right, we have time for one more interview, so back out to the floor of the New York Times Travel Show 2017. Mark?
Tom, I'm here with Nikki Glover. Nikki is with Eyes on Africa, Eyes on Adventure, and I was just kind of patrolling the Africa aisle here looking for somebody who wasn't too busy to talk to me. I actually had to kind of scope you guys out earlier when I was over here talking to ViaRail, and I saw you guys, but you were busy. Tell me a little bit, Eyes on Africa, Eyes on Adventure. This is obviously adventure travel to Africa, I'm guessing.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about it.
We are a company that started off specializing in Africa. Any kind of travel to Africa, we can do anything from basic camping to Uber luxury and everything in between. So we pretty much have something for everybody. The Eyes on Adventure probably is a little bit misleading to some, because to me, any form of travel anywhere in the world is adventure. But we needed to change the name in order to incorporate other parts of the world in addition to Africa for our existing client base.
So explain what your product is then.
Well, we pretty much do everything. We ourselves don't own the camps or the properties. We subcontract with the suppliers in Africa and all over the world. So again, primarily we prefer to focus on sort of the smaller luxury tented camps and or lodges in the countries that we deal with, because we try and stay away from the crowds, mass tourism, and make it sort of a more intimate personal experience.
And I'm looking here behind us.
Yes.
There is a beautiful screen that is showing, as Nikki is talking, is showing us some of their accommodations. And while they are huts, I guess technically, or outdoor, what you'd expect for African accommodations. But what I'm looking at here is to say that they are a little bit upscale. Ooh, there's a lion. This not in the hut. I would should point, probably point that out. But they are tremendously upscale. It looks like you folks go not only to Africa, but all over the world. Length of the excursions, give me a little bit more information.
For most, we say, certainly for Africa, we say a minimum of 2 weeks. It depends on the ability of the client to be able to travel for longer than that period. We find that sort of CEOs or people with a little bit more money tend to be able to travel for longer, but for the most part, because of the distance involved, we say a minimum of 2 weeks to give you a good sort of 10, 12 days on the ground so you're not too rushed.
And in 2 weeks, would you stick with one country? Would you hub and spoke out of one place, or would you have a couple of different destinations?
Depending on where it is, absolutely, you can definitely do more than one. Certain areas are a little bit further apart. If they're too far apart, then we'll say no, rather stick to one or two that are closer together, because we want you to experience an area fully rather than sort of rush to incorporate as much as possible.
Your personal favorite country in Africa, and why?
Oh, that is a tough one. I mean, I'm born and raised in South Africa, so of course it holds a very special place in my heart. But to be honest, wildlife probably has to be Botswana. The top favorite and overall surprise for me has to be Rwanda. I think it's just an amazing country that has come through a terrible, terrible struggle, but you would never know it. It's immaculately clean, and the ability to get up close and personal with the great gorillas is just life-changing.
Wow. And okay, so for the other destinations that you have, some of them South America, Peru, Brazil, Amazon, I see India here. Pick one and tell me a little bit about one that's a good seller right now, or that's new, or that's hot, or that you particularly like.
Oh, well, Peru definitely is a favorite for me. I never thought I would enjoy hiking and or camping again, but I do, and it's a great country full of sort of wonderful culture, great outdoors, incredible food. Sri Lanka was very much a big surprise for me in terms of the wildlife that you can get right next to the beach sort of thing. Again, great food and culture and history as well. India for the tigers, and Madagascar is another unique one with things you see nowhere else in the world except there. So that's a pretty cool one too.
It sounds like my money might run out before, or my legs might run out, or my life might run out before I run out of adventures.
That does tend to happen, and that's why we have clients that have been with us, you know, sort of for 15 years and have done multi-trips, you know, year upon year. So it's a great industry we're in. I love it. I'm passionate about it, and I'm happy to see people, you know, share the same enthusiasm with me.
Some of us who are in tourism believe that the only way that the world will ultimately survive is that if we get to know each other.
Absolutely.
And understand each other a little bit better and stuff like that.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And right now we're just hoping that the rest of the planet will somehow figure out the gentleman who's running our country and then explain it to us, perhaps.
Absolutely. I think we all share that. Well, not all of us share that sentiment, but I do too. So I'm hoping that travel will definitely help with that sort of situation.
Maybe as the president gets out and sees the world, that will help things a little bit. Nikki, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Great interviews, great information to make you all smarter travelers. Mark, thanks so much for the great work at the New York Times Travel Show. I have to ask, what was the sentiment amongst the people that you ran into there with the new president, new administration, and how it might impact travel down the road?
Well, as you might have just sensed a little bit towards the end of my interview there with Nikki, because before the interview started, her and I were talking about the fact that there seemed to be a little bit of a feeling around the room, a little bit of apprehension. And nobody could really put their finger on it, but a couple of people started to say, well, maybe it has to do with the fact that people are a little concerned about what's going to happen next on the planet. And so I'm really trying to stay away from being too political here, but that was the feeling at this one of the world's largest travel shows on the planet is, you know, how will what the president says and does impact the travel industry?
Well, there you go. I think a lot of folks are feeling that in regards to just about everything in the walk of life. Well, thank you so much for your time. We'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. Another edition of the Travel Guys coming your way next Sunday, 3:00. Remember, follow us at TravelGuysRadio.com.
And from New York, remember, dance like nobody is watching.